Howdy, partners, and welcome to another episode of the Howdy Partners podcast, where we give you tactical insights so that you can perform better in your role. Today, I'm joined with someone that actually I met because of a Nearbound strategy, which I'll tell you the story in a second. I am alone today, and it's been a great start to the year. Everything's been very quick. It's our end of financial year, so I kind of like that. You know, you start the year off, the calendar year, just after the holidays, in this excitement to close out the fiscal year. And the holidays, you're coming back nice and refreshed. So I'm feeling good and flying solo today. But today I am joined with Jacob from Sales Doc. And we met through actually a Nearbound strategy. So I'm going to tell that story quickly first, and then I'll let Jacob introduce himself and what Sales Doc does. So Jacob and I met because someone had reached out to me in my network, and they were asking for some advice. They were asking for some help. And what that person is doing is they're building this partnership outreach agency, and they wanted advice on how they could craft their messaging, both in the outreach templates and also on their website as well. And so because I was helping, I gave a lot of value to this person, and they asked me if there's anything that they could do for me. And I said, well, if there's anyone in your network that you could introduce me to, then that would be great. Maybe there's a sales opportunity or even just an interesting conversation that I can have. And so, of course, to make it even more specific, I said, tell me your top 10 clients, and I'll let you know if it makes sense for me to reach out to them and have a conversation. So they sent me a list, and I found out in our CRM who the AE was on the account. And then I said, great, here are the accounts, meet the AE. And then I asked some specific questions about the engagement with that client. And what I'm doing here is I'm actually deploying a Nearbound strategy. I asked some simple questions to get some intel on the account. And then after that intel, I determined whether or not it would make sense for an introduction to, of course, protect the relationship with the client of this person. And they said, great, yep, I'm willing to do an introduction. And I said, awesome, here is a templated email that you can send and a templated LinkedIn message. Change it however you'd like, but this is the overall context, just so that they're prepared for that introduction. They sent it, and then we were introduced. And now we're actually exploring, you know, an opportunity together, either in partnership or however we're going to do business together. And we're engaging in this podcast. So it's a really interesting way that, you know, we're going to be talking about Nearbound today and what it means to you, Jacob. But I wanted to first tell that story because we met because of this strategy, and now we're going to talk about the strategy. So it gets me really excited because I'm living through this, and we're living in what we're going to talk about. So welcome to the podcast today, Jacob from Sales Doc. Tell us a bit more about Sales Doc and what you do, and then we can get into today's topic.
Yep. Well, thank you very much for the introduction and sharing the story about, I didn't even know this one. So, really funny to listen to. So when it comes to the Sales Doc, what do? We're a sales training and consultancy company focused on B2B tech companies. For us, it's about, our primary focus is on increasing the performance of the organizations by readjusting processes, upskilling people, and then especially coaching and mentoring salespeople, because that's usually what is missing. That the organization, some training organizations come, give you training, but they don't implement the change, which is the hardest part on that. We've been in this business for several years already, and yeah, so that's what we do.
Yeah. And you were mentioning that you've grown very quickly and your website's number of the customers that you work with is much, much higher than what I saw initially. I think you updated already, but that's super exciting to see all that success. And you were mentioning on our conversation that you've come across Nearbound even before our conversation the first time around. And so I think that plays into our first question, which is the changing trends in the sales landscape. So I'd love to get your take in working with so many clients, their processes, you know, being in a business that is working with modern companies. What are some of those changing trends in the sales landscape in 2023 and 2024? What's your take?
Yeah, well, it has been widely discussed on the social media everywhere that the predictable revenue model is dead, like the line production and the sales that you put a bunch of SDRs who creates a bunch of meetings and that they convert into the opportunities and businesses, which is actually true. It has been dead for a longer time, but it was accepted. I think what put the final nail into the coffin, that's how we call it in Czech, was also the situation on the VC market that the VCs stopped tolerating unprofitable growth strategies. Before that, nobody or organization didn't pay that much of focus on what is my CAC versus LTV. Is it do I need to have 2 years? Is it 2 years okay to recover the 2 years of subscription to recover the customer acquisition cost? And it was tolerated. Everything was optimized on the growth. Whereas right now it's more like, okay, let's get back to the profitability. And a lot of companies realized actually it's not what we were doing or we're doing incorrectly. Moreover, I would say also like the sales, how it usually reacts is, okay, so I have lower open rates, so let's send more emails. So I get the same amount of open emails. And that's by reacting in this way, I'm not saying all the salespeople, but the majority goes in this way that, what you started prospecting via automated sequences, you started prospecting via 5 domains, so you can increase the bandwidth of the emails you can send out and LinkedIn. And calls you can make, you started using power dialers. So we started ruining the channels in this way. I don't know if you see that, Will, on your inbox, but on my inbox, I see I don't know what happened, but I have like 5 times, 6 times more emails than I used to have before, like a year ago. And yep. All of them go to the spam every morning or not go to the spam. I archive them and move forward. So yeah, from time to time. Yeah,
that's exactly the narrative that we talk about as well, where, you know, even Google is making the change of, you know, how many emails you can send. And, you know, they're at least focusing on this because they know that it is a challenge. And like you mentioned, the cost of acquisition of customers only kept going up. You know, ads more expensive, SEO harder to break into, inboxes more crowded. It's all like a trend that is because what I talk about is, you know, there's more and more businesses than ever because it's easier to start a business than ever. And that just means more noise and communications in the market, because when you once had maybe, you know, 2, 3, maybe 4 competitors, you now have 10, maybe 15 because you can copy cat a company pretty easily.
That's true. I like it. I didn't look at it from that perspective, but there's going to be also something on that. And yeah, but also on the other hand, we saw for a long time that the prospecting was getting harder and harder. It right now just reached to the point when it's not bearable anymore. So, you know, if you look at the conversions or the performance 10 years ago on some benchmarks, per one BDR, you had 20 meetings booked. 3 years ago, it was like on average, or 5 years ago, it was 12. Right now, I don't know how much you can get, 7, 8. If, and what does it mean afterwards is that the outbound strategy will be, will have to change firstly. And secondly, also this type of working will be only for the bigger ticket sizes. So year ago, 2 years ago, it was if you sell below $20,000 yearly subscription, you shouldn't do outbound. Right now, it will shift again more to the right. So it's going to be 40, 50. And below that, outbound is not profitable for you.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And in the age of more and more micro apps, I think, you know, people might think, well, this is what people did before. So if I build a business, and even if it's, you know, a cheaper tool, I need to invest in it. But the playbook is definitely different for the larger enterprise type solution versus the more transactional or, you know, I mean, you know, less than $20,000 is not too much to scoff at as a business if you're investing in a tool or a service in that regard. And so it's not even a transactional sale per se that requires this kind of outreach. And so, okay, so that's, you know, some of the challenges and the changing trends. And so what's the solution? You know, like I, obviously this is a podcast about partnerships. And so I of course think through that lens and through this lens of Nearbound, but what do you think is that next step of what can businesses do? Because, you know, the world needs to turn and, you know, sales need to happen. So what are you finding with clients? And then maybe get into like, how did you hear about Nearbound and what gets you excited about it?
Yeah. Well, so firstly, the prediction of what's going to happen, like with the evolution of the AI and more of the, it was just a buzz in past few months, but it will get into the implementation curve or part. So that automatically can increase the email of the number of the emails and everything. So it will not improve this current trend. So you will end up with doing outbound for the enterprise tickets pretty much, and you will be left out what to do with SMB. I actually recently read a post. It was from the CEO of Retention. I really liked it. He said it. The SMB will be probably served by the bunch of influencers, because content is the king. And that's also how you can serve them in a scale and replace the BDRs by guys and girls posting on the LinkedIn and other social media, sharing content and generating leads.
That's interesting. So I know that when before we started, you were talking about doing that yourself, and I agree with that. That there's this idea of go-to network, which, you know, Scott Lees talks a lot about, and I forget the gentleman's name, but I know who you're talking about, the person from retention.com. And yeah, this idea of go-to network, and Scott Lees has talked about Nearbound as well, and how it all kind of like fits under this umbrella of, yeah, not the traditional outreach. And so why do you think that is? Like, what does that mean to you as a business owner, and also someone who's, you know, obviously trying to scale your business? What does that mean to you? Obviously, you know, that's the effective route that some people or some organizations are finding success in, but why do you think that is, and why is it important to consider in a strategy?
Right now you mean to have the influencer and publish content?
Yep.
Yeah, well, people buy from people and trust people, especially in our line of business, when it's about consultancy and trainings. If people trust me, they purchase from me, whatever we propose. If they don't trust me, I wouldn't be able to sell them for $10. And, you cannot build a trust over the emails. And, that's how we can do that with the content and with, being influencer on one of the social media, because it's about preparing the leads, which they can afterwards come to, or you can identify the most engaged leads and get back to them.
I love it. And so, yeah, that's again, on this theme of trust and people and in the interaction of partnerships, you can translate trust that is existing, whether it's an existing client or existing brand, anything in that regard, this relationship that's already there. And so you came across Nearbound, and what sparked ideas for you and your team when learning about it? And how are you incorporating that ethos in your work?
Yeah. Well, Nearbound for us is implemented for our tier one customers that we consider already as a big one when it comes from the ticket size, and that's in other words, it's worth to invest a lot of time to become friends with them and then have business together. And that has been here also for past tens of years since the sales became, it's you know, to meet the people on the conferences, become friends, and then know the whole organization. What I like about this ethos of Nearbound is let's do that more in the more structured way, because there is a proven path and strategies that you can replicate. It doesn't have to be just on the salesperson that he can come up with a great idea and then it will not be replicated to the rest of the team. I would call it something like what was outbound 10 years ago before you get the outreaches, sales loves and this type of companies, because then you could have some good BDRs that didn't have to have that tool, but you couldn't replicate that skill into the whole team. Then outreach came and gave you the possibility to say, replicate the best performing sequences to the whole team, or best performing approaches for prospecting. And this the same is with the Nearbound, that you say some of the salesperson or some of the companies uses how they firstly focus on building champions inside of the organization, and the way how they do that is like, hey, we're organizing conference and we would like you to be as our speaker on the conference. So then you've become friends and they start automatically liking you. And then, you also start building a champion inside of the company who brings you the information, so that, and this one then can be replicated, in most of the, for all of the regions in the organizations and so on.
Yeah, what you're describing is the foundation of partnerships, where you build the relationship and you then navigate, like you said, try and give first, include them in what you're doing in the rhythm of your business. And that's going to expand because they're going to trust you and they're going to see this path to value versus everyone else who's probably asking them for things. And so I think there's a nice carryover from not just partnerships, but also in sales. And I think that's why the ethos of like a content creator is constantly distributing value to their network. And if they're writing specific content for a niche and it's the niche that they sell to, then that additional value over time is going to build the trust, build a relationship to a degree, and be that first thing top of mind when people think of a specific challenge they have. They're going to think about, you know, that person and the constant value that they keep giving. And the same goes for the partnerships. And I like that you mentioned it's the formalization of something that was already happening. You know, people always introduced others and made referrals and developed relationships at events and included their friends and things and all that. You know, you go golfing with your customer and, you know, the person you want to reach. There's this natural feeling to it. And now you can add this structure and make it a business process. And so I'm glad that you're thinking about this, and also the sentiment of it's existed and now businesses need to use it as a survival mechanism, because the old ways were, you know, outdone by themselves. And so I'm curious about, let's think about this into the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. 2023 was difficult for a lot of companies. For some, it was good. But what I'm thinking about is like, what should one, sellers think about for 2024, and two, that context I think will be helpful for our audience, which is the partnership professional who needs to work with sales often. And we've talked a lot about, you know, these sentiments, but what's something that sellers should be aware of and start thinking about? And then we can dive into how these partner teams can enable sellers and really make sure that they're successful. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. This, if the salesperson should be also responsible for building his or her own pipeline, because there could be still somebody who gets leads from the inbound or just booked from inbound, or it could be product-led sales. They will still have enough of meetings in their pipeline. The ones that are on the hunting side, they will have to be ready to move to the segment of enterprise businesses. They will have to be ready to start building their credibility on the social media in certain network. They will start using the prospecting tool, which is called Plane, to go for the conferences and where the clients are. I think we'll get the, because it's still very, very powerful tool, which wasn't done historically, or which wasn't used that much in the past 5 years. So that's my prediction for the salespeople for sure. AI will make the life easier for in many of the tasks, like researching, reminding us what to do when to do it. So it will work like a tool for the salespeople. When it comes to the, can you repeat the question again? Because I forgot it from when I started talking about this one. So that don't start answering something else.
Yeah, for sure. So I mentioned the, so sellers should be focused on, you know, preparing for building this expertise to continue to reach out to these more enterprise clients, because that's what's going to solve the CAC of, you know, doing this outbound. And they need to do that by building a brand. And so you mentioned AI will help enable all of that by, you know, helping you craft a message and reminding you. And so the second part of the question is, how can partner professionals prepare their sales teams so that when we think of, you know, this formalization of the relationship, how can a partner person then make sure the seller is best equipped for, you know, building this network and building these relationships, and instead of just having the seller figure it out on their own, the, you know, partner team can help to empower them. What are your thoughts on, like, what should partner teams be doing, and what should they be think of, like, what could they give to the sales team to make sure that a seller is prepared for this 2024?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a lot about data, because that's what we're getting through right now. We're preparing the list of the potential customers based on the ICP profile. So that's how big they are. Did they get an investment? How many salespeople did they grow? When was the last investment? Is there any propensity, probability that they will get another round? Because we want to be ideally before that round. So those are the statistical data, but that doesn't tell you anything, or that tells you those might be right prospect. But from that, we prioritize, we do the prioritization based on, do they follow our LinkedIn page? Did they visit any of our webinars? Were we in touch? Is there somebody who can recommend us to the organization? That how far they are from our brand? So there is a 2-1 customer, but what is our brand exposure to them? And if on the list we have 500 customers, by this one we'll narrow it down to 50, and that's what we'll focus on. So one of the things for the partner or sales operation is do this data work. The other one is for many salespeople, they're not used to work in this with such a concept like, hey, let's invite somebody for a webinar. Let's find out the best conferences where these people are. Who are the trusted advisors of these people? So I will get in touch also with the trusted advisors. So I will make around my target personas in the organization. I build my awareness around them that they will consider me. Hey, we have to actually buy from them because there's nobody else. They're the most visible ones. At the end of the day, we aren't the most visible ones. We're just the most visible ones around them.
what you're describing is nearbound and surrounding the prospects, which is super exciting because that's exactly what we talk about, which is surrounding them with these trusted relationships. Who are the trusted advisors? Like you mentioned, the technologies that they work with already, the consultants, so that they, like you said, have almost no choice but to think of you or to go to you to find your solution to solve their problems. And so I'm really glad that that's what you're thinking of. And in terms of that enablement, like you said, sellers aren't used to that. They aren't used to understanding that level of data and context for the account, which relationships they already have. So, you know, shameless plug of Reveal, that's exactly what Reveal can do is, you know, you can account map and then understand what the partner presence is. But obviously that is... we don't need to dive too far into that. So what I want to learn though is something that you did with me, which I think is amazing because, you know, I told the story at the start of, you know, me living through Nearbound and then, you know, what we had on our call, it was, and I mentioned this on our call, it was like, we're both so eager. You said it first, you're like, I want to invite you on this webinar. Yeah. And I was like, hey, I'm going to invite you on this podcast. And I think it's such a good way to think through this. So how do you take the first step in your partnerships? And what's the first thing that you always try to do? What's like the main ethos or like the foundation of what you do and why you do it?
So for us, who is the core customer is a B2B SaaS organization. And usually they are founded by VCs. So our first approach is always make friends with the VCs in the region where we expand. We have, on the other side, we offer them, hey, we can provide you with some pitch decks because when we talk to the customers, they're telling us we're about to raise, we haven't sent it to anybody. And we want to get from the VCs, we want to either get neutral or very positive experience in a way that they don't become blockers and eventually they give us interest to their portfolio. Not all of them does that. When we get to the salespeople afterwards, we start prospecting. We tried several things. One of them was, for instance, hey, let's have a call and we would like to have an interview with you and then post an article about it, about your playbook. Because as I see in your organization, you're very successful. And that's how we started building friends among the sales leaders because we had several interviews, we created a playbook. Then that was also filtration. We saw, hey, this guy is actually, that's stunning. So we said, hey, you're pretty good. Let's go on a webinar with us. And then eventually let's go on the event, which we organize. So if he's in the location or she's in the location, then we invite them to the event. And by that time, we build a strong champion inside of the organization who firstly gets positive feeling about us. So if somebody has issues with sales, he says, hey, go to sales doc. I met this guy. What they do is amazing. Or we uncover some needs inside of the organization.
Amazing. And so the main thing I want people to pull out there is you're giving first, whether it is a sales process that you're trying to work with this person, or if it's a, you know, potential partnership, giving first, and you probably get interesting content as well that further builds your brand as a company and as individuals, which like we talked about throughout this is really important to build that trust and to become that trusted advisor for the people you're trying to reach. So I think it's multi-pronged in terms of the benefits, but the give and like even the business efficiency of creating that content is just increased because you now have a champion that can distribute it for you. So I love it. You're going around this idea of this give first mentality to start partnerships and start relationships. And that is something that is really popular in the partnership space.
Yeah. And what is also good about it, like you're strengthening or building community around you because you pick the top-notch speakers that have something to say, very valuable. You bring them and you organize. That's what we did last year, and we're about to do that again in a month, that a physical event. Very small event, 60 SaaS sales leaders from either CEOs or salespeople, and put there two free speakers. And again, you create amazing event. And so, and you're not just engaging with the free which you get, but also with another 60 which came to the event and start considering you again as the credible partner.
Amazing. You are the hero for bringing in the additional person to help the community that you're serving. And so you're this constant thread throughout all of this value that you're dropping. So of course, why wouldn't they think of you when they think of this challenge that you help to serve, because you've already given them value. I love it. So we end every episode with a tactical takeaway. And so what I would love to learn from you is, what is one daily or weekly practice that sales or partnerships people can do to make sure that they are moving the needle? What's your best tactical takeaway for our listeners?
Mm-hmm. Once you have defined like who is your target persona you go after, then it's a lot about consistency. That's what I don't see at many of the salespeople. And sometimes I have issues with that as well, because I get overloaded with other work. But to keep the routine, whatever you define it in your goal, and it could be make a 2 posts on LinkedIn or prospect 30 people from which are connected to your tier one customers, or get 5 introductions every week, whatever you define. This one is that brings gold at the end of the day.
Amazing. So make the goals simple, small, and actionable. Have that consistency. I completely agree. Jacob, thanks so much for the time. And where can people find you if they want to hear more from what you do, or of course, follow along your journey? Where can they find you?
Yeah, definitely. I don't link to Jacob, H-O-N, or on salesdog.com. That's where we are present.
Amazing. Check it out.
Or you can come to Amsterdam to our event, which we're going to organize in a month.
There you go. So if we have any European listeners, by all means, reach out to Jacob and go to Amsterdam. I would love to go there. I'm over in Ontario, Canada, but maybe one day we will cross paths, and hopefully we do. Thank you so much for the time and the wisdom. Everyone go check out Jacob, follow him on LinkedIn, and see the events that they're doing. And of course, check out Sales Doc. They are clearly ahead of the curve from what you heard today. Thank you everyone for listening. That was another episode of the Howdy Partners podcast.